A bamboo tube fed enough air for the gaudy slut to breathe, and the blanket hid her from the casual sight of strangers. Their leader grinned widely, displaying pointed teeth. Starting at his forehead, a long, jagged slash traversed his features, going into his shirt and out of sight.
Got in, cooker. We'll think better with a full stomach.
Two days later, the companions were camped on the top of a hill overlooking the ruins of a pre-dark metropolis. Silvery with reflected moonlight, dark monoliths rose from the jumble of fallen structures and wind-blown debris. A great amphitheater, or sports arena, stood by itself at the far end. No lights shone from the hundreds of windows, and no smoke rose through the many holes in the roofs. There was no smell of machinery, and no sounds marred the stillness of the evening.
It's dead.
Christy stated this with no uncertainty, as she added more sticks to the campfire. As a precaution, the companions had dug a hole for the fire so the flames wouldn't be discernible to anybody below, but their precaution seemed unwarranted. JB squinted to read by the flickering light.
There's nothing on the map. My best guess would have been that this area was nothing but peach orchards.
Ryan rubbed his unshaved chin.
Strange. Very strange.
A few yards away, the horses whinnied in the darkness from hunger. Yesterday, the companions had passed a field full of rye, but after inspecting the grain, Mildred refused to let them feed any to the horses. It was contaminated with an ersatz mold she said could be fatal. Unfortunately, they were entering desert, and grass was getting scarce. With no other choice, the companions went through their supplies, feeding the horses everything they could. The rest of the apples, bread, granola bars, crackers, dried vegetables, and peanut butter. Combined with the tiny sugar packets from the MRE coffee packs and what green grass they could find, the mixture had sustained the animals until now. Ryan chewed on a piece of smoked fish.
We've got to find them something to eat, or the horses will start to weaken. Then they'll rebel, and we'll have to chill them.
Shoot the horses?
Aghast, Dean looked up from his work. The Browning High Power was lying on a clean piece of cloth, completely disassembled. The boy was cleaning each piece thoroughly before rebuilding the blaster.
No, we'll ride them till they die. Get every mile out of them we can. I prefer to find food and keep them for the rest of our journey.
Me too.
Mildred sipped her tin cup of cold turkey bouillon.
Maybe we should check out the ruins. Dried cereals on the supermarket shelves, cans of corn, envelopes of oatmeal. Could be lots of food down there. The big one looks like a Hyatt. Good hotel. I always stayed at them for medical conferences.
Ryan sucked a hollow tooth.
Don't recall ever looting a hotel before. Come to think of it, they would have lots of usable items. Tons of canned goods for the kitchen, good knives too. Soap and shampoo, TP, radio, and blasters in the sec office.
Should be lots of clothing. I could use a new belt. Socks.
There could be nothing. Rats usually get everything not in a can, and rust gets that.
Ryan put aside the gnawed fish. Whatever Flat Rock did to preserve the stuff almost made the things inedible. His teeth ached from chewing on the smoked trout.
I think we stand a better chance finding food on the road. We'll leave the roads and start cutting cross-country.
Well, there's a redoubt to the south of here.
JB was reading the map. The firelight glistened off his glasses, casting tiny rainbows across his face.
But that's over 150 miles away.
He turned the map over.
Now, just 60 miles to the north is the town of Shiloh, of which we know nothing. But to the northwest is Shiloh Battlefield. There's a redoubt there, and it's only 100 miles away.
Two birds, one stone. I vote for simplicity.
Vilnir Redoubt had horses.
Jack stood and stretched his arms, working a kink from his neck. It had been a long time since he did this much riding, and surprisingly it was his back that was sore, not his ass.
That vill also had lots of folks who wanted us chilled.
Jack drew his blaster and checked the load in the cylinder.
Don't care. You decide. I relieve Doc horses.
As silent as a jungle panther, the pale teenager slipped into the darkness and was gone.
Anything useful in the Shiloh Redoubt?
Dean assembled his weapon without looking. Springs tucked into place neatly, and the carriage entered the oiled frame without hindrance. Watching the work with approval, Ryan shook his head.
The base was stripped bare, although there are miles upon miles of tunnels under the redoubt, and we never did more than a fast trek into those. Could be anything stored down there.
Finished, the boy eased the clip into place and checked the slide.
Maybe that's where Overton was getting his blasters from, the Shiloh Redoubt.
Could be. It just could damn well be the spot.
The talk went on far into the night, and soon the decision was made. They would bypass all of the towns named Shiloh on their list and head straight for the Civil War battlefield of Shiloh Church. The campfire was dwindling to red embers, the unburned ends of logs glowing in the darkness. Soft snoring came from the still figures under the blankets around the fire pit, along with the occasional mumbled word. Blaster resting on his lap, JB sat sipping cold coffee and listening to the night. The insects and birds told more of what was happening in the area than vision could. An owl hooted its eternal question, something with wings soared overhead, and a line of ants marched over his combat boot, seeking the crumbs from their dinner. The thin grass rustled as a dry breeze blew over the campsite. Then there was another rustle, but the breeze had ceased. With instincts honed in 100 battles, JB stood and threw a bundle of branches onto the embers. The oil-soaked wood burst into flames, filling the area with bright light that revealed a dozen figures near the horses, fumbling with the reins.
Thieves!
JB fired single shots from the Uzi, unwilling to go full auto and possibly kill the horses. One murky figure cried out, grabbing a shoulder. Another doubled over, clutching his stomach, and toppled to the ground. The companions clawed for their weapons and rolled away from the campfire as the invaders seemed to stab themselves in the faces with tiny sticks. Dodging left and right, JB fired twice more. Then something gentle hit his chest. He glanced down and saw a tiny barbed quill jutting from a button.
Blowpipes!
He plucked the deadly barb from his clothing, trying not to touch the glistening end. It had to be poison of some kind. A thundering roar illuminated the night as Doc triggered the Lama. Three more of the shapeless figures holding blowpipes cried out in pain and fell aside, throwing their arms wide. A roar shook the darkness as Mildred fired the S&W shotgun. Then the gunshots overlapped one another as the companions unleashed a hellstorm of lead and copper at the intruders. Many of the figures dropped to the ground, but the ones behind them leaped on the horses and galloped away, vanishing into the night.
They got the horses!
Christy knelt in the cold soil, two hands supporting her S&W-38. She strained to catch a glimpse of the thieves, but even her vision couldn't find a target in the blackness.
More wood!
Dean dropped a load under the campfire. The circle of light expanded, and something went motionless in the tall weeds nearby. Springing forward, Mildred grappled with a man who broke free from her clutches and started running. Jack threw a knife, and the figure stumbled. Then Ryan tackled the intruder, driving him to the ground. Wrestling in the thrashing weeds, the man escaped again, and Jack slashed for the neck. The blade missed the target, but scored a deep furrow across a leaf-covered shoulder. Pivoting, the intruder snarled wordlessly, lashing out with hands full of vines. The thorns raked Jack's face, just missing his eyes. The teenager thrust a knife into the man's belly as Ryan clubbed the thief over the head with a Sig Sauer. With a crunch of bones, the man fell to the ground.
Over here!
Christy held an oil lantern high. In the yellowish light of the fish oil lantern, the humanoid on the ground gasped for breath.
Mutie.
Jack wiped his blade on the dirt. He usually cleaned the knives on the clothes of the dead, but this time that wouldn't work, as the horse thief was naked. Sort of. The humanoid creature was covered with vines, but he wasn't wearing them. The plants were part of him, the roots buried deep into his skin. His clothing was merely leaves of different colors, mimicking cloth. The mutie spasmed once, then went still. The leaves limply drooped, the vines turning brown. Mildred inspected the still form.
Symbiont.
In death, it simply looked like a man partially covered with ivy. Then she noticed the thorns on the hands. Experimentally, she closed a limp hand into a fist and barbed thorns extended from the knuckles. Releasing the hybrid, she stood.
Plants and man intermixed. They can't live without each other.
Bastard good disguise.
Ryan's shirt was slashed,